Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Stat Monday Football Podcast. This is episode 9. On tomorrow's show, we're going to do another Q&A, and I'll be joined by full-time Devil's Own Stephen Howson. So if you've got any questions, tweet me at StatmanDave. Make sure you follow me on Twitter as well. But anyway, today we're going to talk a little bit of news, then move on to Manchester United versus Saint-Étienne in the Europa League, then talk a little bit about the League Cup final, and then finally finish off with a bit of Champions League action games, you know, including Porto versus Juventus and of course Sevilla versus Leicester City. Then finish up with a little bit of a stats roundup of the first game of the last 16. But anyway, it's time for the news. So in the news today, big news coming out of the Arsenal camp. The Guardian reporting that if Arsene Wenger leaves, Hector Bellerin would be open to a move back to Barcelona to join the Catalan giants. Barcelona have struggled with a right fullback since Dani Alves left the club, with Sergio Roberto playing well in stages and Alex Vidal not really stepping up since his move to Sevilla. So looking for an ex-Barcelona graduate could be the right move for Luis Enrique's sides. Whether Enrique will be there in the summer, I do not know. Obviously, with managers like Sampaoli linked to the club, that could be a big statement for Barcelona going for the Argentinian in terms of their philosophy, style and beautiful football. But anyway, Bellerin to Barcelona for me works. They are looking for a right back. He could be the perfect guy there. Gets forward very well. Is really, really, really ridiculously quick. One thing that he could learn he still needs to develop potentially is 1v1 defending. But if he's playing for Barcelona, he'll have the ball at his feet in an attacking sense more than a defensive sense. So it could both suit Bellerin and Barcelona, but potentially wouldn't suit Arsenal, who have spent a lot of time and money investing in Bellerin. So I hope that Bellerin stays for a few more seasons and repays a bit of that faith back into Arsenal Football Club. Given that potentially they've got a new manager at the end of the season, that could be quite interesting for Bellerin. Anyway, moving on, Ronaldo made his 700th appearance for Real Madrid against Valencia in La Liga. Unfortunately, they lost the game 2-1. Zaza scored an absolute cracker for Los Chi. But that result takes them... they're still 1 point clear of Barcelona in La Liga with a game in hand. So it's getting quite hot at the top of the league. And now the big game of the weekend, Atletico Madrid versus Barcelona. That is going to be an absolute classic. Anyway, moving on to other news stories. Harry Redknapp has come out in the press today and said Arsenal could do with someone like Wayne Rooney to add a bit of leadership into the side, which could be quite interesting, with Rooney heavily, heavily, heavily linked with a move to China. Maybe Arsenal will dive in there last minute and offer him a deal. And finally, Antoine Griezmann to Manchester United, according to Emmanuel Petit, is definitely going to join the club. Great news for United fans. Anyway, let's talk football. It's time for the Europa League, the greatest tournament in the world. Of course, I was only joking. The Europa League is definitely below the good old Champo League, but it's been pretty decent this year for Manchester United. United went to Saint-Étienne on Wednesday night with a 3-goal lead following Zlatan Ibrahimovic hat-trick at Old Trafford. Knowing that a goal would pretty much kill the tie-off, given that the away goal, Saint-Étienne didn't score one, so it would mean that Saint-Étienne would have to score 5 at home. United took the lead through a Henrik Mkhitaryan toe poke following a brilliant move and build-up from Juan Mata. But the game wasn't the greatest game I've ever watched, I'm going to be honest. It was very Jose Mourinho and very tactical and defensive. It sort of goes back to the sort of group stages where United went away against Feyenoord and set up in a very similar way where they played a three-man midfield, but the midfield completely sat off Feyenoord and let the Belgium side dictate the play. Wasn't the greatest decision by Mourinho to apply that to that game, because we saw later on when you pressurise Feyenoord, when you press them high up the pitch, they cracked. United obviously beating them back at Old Trafford. But it was a good approach for the knockout stage, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic for Mourinho how he set up the side. Obviously not the most exciting style, but it got the job done. Sitting up with the 4-5-1, probably United's best team on paper, considering Ander Herrera was out with a suspension. Henrik Mkhitaryan, Mata and Zlatan, a very fluid front three. In terms of the goal, it was a brilliant move. Juan Mata, picking up 2-1-2s in the centre of the park, moving out wide, Daley Blind with the overlap, and then he whipped the ball to the near post. But it was quite interesting how Zlatan had dropped off, Mkhitaryan had become the number 9, and a fantastic number 9 finish. In the last 5 games for Manchester United, Mkhitaryan has been in banging form. In the last 6 games for Manchester United, Mkhitaryan has been in banging form, being directly involved in 5 goals. That's 3 goals and 2 assists. The Armenian has been in top form. Bad news, though, he picked up an injury against Saint-Étienne, going off with what looked like a hamstring injury in the first half, which potentially could be quite costly for the League Cup final, considering how good he's been in recent weeks and how good he's been at playmaking in that final third, whether it is at a number 10 or playing from the left or the right wing. But in terms of Juan Mata, it's a player that's progressed massively under Mourinho for me in terms of his fluidity and tack. It's so difficult to pick up. It's something I've spoke about time and time again. But he does love drifting onto that left-hand side from the right wing, and he did it against Saint-Étienne and caused them so much problem. Not just the goal, but there were other moments where he drifted out there and was looking for through ball opportunities or looking to play his teammates into crossing areas. And I just think Juan Mata's really progressed under Mourinho. First time didn't quite suit Mourinho in terms of his work. Mourinho did force him out to that right wing, and it just didn't quite work with Juan Mata. This time, Mata is more evolved as a player, as a footballer. I'm giving United's playing a 4-3-3 suits Juan Mata a little bit more in terms of he does have a central midfielder that can protect his flank if the transition occurs and United go from attack to defence. Juan Mata been brilliant this season, grabbing another key assist in the game. But man of the match for me, of course, was Daley Blind. I thought he had a brilliant game in a defensive sense. His stats were brilliant in terms of he won the most tackles for any United player. He made the most interceptions on the pitch, grabbed himself 4 clearances, won 100% of his tackles and 100% of his aerial duels, and also managed to create 2 chances. Of course, provided that sort of width for the goal, drawing the defender away, opening up the space for Juan Mata to cross. But I feel like he's really taken his chance under Mourinho in terms of at that left-back slot. We've seen Darmian play there. We've seen Luke Shaw there that potentially will come in, but what Daley Blind is giving United at sort of left fullback is another centre back. It gives them that sort of defensive strength going the other way, and was really good up against his man. Kept on winning his tackles, kept on bullying his opponent, and just gave United a bit on the attack going forward. What we've seen from Luke Shaw, very, very good defensively against Wigan, but going forward was quite poor. So maybe Mourinho sort of analysed that and seeing that Daley Blind right now is the best left back for Manchester United. And I can't really disagree with him. I think the Dutchman has really improved again this season, and that's something that I love to see from players. Signed for United, had some problems with his game, and he sort of worked on them, coming up against the attackers 1v1. Now he picks his time, he gives them a little bit of space if they're quicker than him, then he picks his moment to make that tackle. And again, he showed that great decision making skills against Saint-Étienne, but also the awareness not to get turned and not to be caught under the ball when it was over his head, because that was one of his big weaknesses. But Daley Blind at the moment for me is Man United's number 1 left back, 100%, and I quite like him in there. Also the ball playing option that gives United his forward passes always cut the lines of the opposition. So yeah, Daley Blind has been fantastic in recent weeks. Moving on to other players, the sort of Eric Bailly sending off 885 seconds between his first yellow card and his second yellow card. For me, the second one was a bit harsh. It was just a little bit late, a little bit mistimed. But it was, of course, the first one that really cost him. A very, very silly tackle. Didn't really need to go in there. Should have stayed on his feet, used his pace, tracked his man, and used his strength to get back in there, not just dived in. And unfortunately, a deserved red card, but not the worst thing in the world. Obviously, picking up that first yellow anyway, it'd put him out the first leg of the next round of the Europa League, when the red card just means he'll miss that game anyway, but he'll still carry that yellow card. So if he picks up a yellow card in the second leg of the last 16 tie, he will miss the quarterfinals and so forth. I hope I've explained that well. In terms of the performances, Paul Pogba played reasonably well in midfield for me. Not his greatest performance, but he did everything right. A few lovely bits of individual skill. The key pass that he played to Bastian Schweinsteiger, the move before that, was absolutely sick in the head. Well played, Paul Pogba. Played some decent through balls to Zlatan, and just, yeah, I like the games where Paul Pogba just plays consistently well. Like, he makes the right passes, he makes the right decisions in the tackle, you know, what he decides to take players on in the right moment. Just tactically, he was very, very good, and it was reminiscent of his Juventus days under Allegri in the latter stage of the Champions League. So I'm very, very impressed by Paul Pogba's work against Saint-Étienne. But anyway, United going through to the Europa League last 16, good work from Mourinho, and again, he's showing that this competition means a lot to Manchester United. You've got to think about that Champions League spot. The Premier League is so competitive this season. The Europa League needs to be as vitally and important, and Mourinho showed that it is as important as the League Cup final. Moving on to the League Cup final, Manchester United face Southampton on Sunday. I'm going to the game, so if anyone's at Wembley, stop me, take a picture, and I'll feature you on the podcast. But I can't wait for the game. I love going to Wembley. It's an interesting arena in terms of the atmosphere. Last season in the semi-final, went to the Everton game. The first half, the atmosphere was a little bit flat where we sat, so we moved around the ground and went back into the, you know, further into the home end, and the atmosphere was absolutely banging. The goal, we managed to get on a GoPro, the Anthony Martial goal. I nearly fell over a seat. It was brilliant. I can't wait to do that. I think I'm sitting next to the one and only Sam Homewood, so hopefully I'll be able to get his reaction from the game and bang it on this channel. But anyway, in terms of Manchester United, threats they've got to deal with, of course, Nathan Redmond. Redmond has been pacey this year, has looked quite good in stages, completely destroyed Liverpool earlier on. I think it was in halfway through January in the League Cup, getting, you know, on the way to the final in both of the games. Nathan Redmond was brilliant about, you know, at counter-attacking, attacking the space either side of the Liverpool centre-back. So United need to be careful there. I think that's why Daley Blind is potentially crucial in this system, because Daley Blind is going to be less aggressive going forward in comparison to the Liverpool fullbacks that play quite high. You know, we want Antonio Valencia getting forward and bombing on, but we need Daley Blind to sort of pivot around and create a back three to deal with the pace of Nathan Redmond and his ability to counter-attack into those channels. Obviously, plays on the right-hand side as well, so it worked out quite nicely in a tactical sense. Other players, Gabbiadini, brought over from Naples in the January transfer window, has looked very good. Teams are the scouting department haven't quite got Gabbiadini down. In terms of what he is, I'd say he's a poacher in terms of type of centre-forward. Quite good with the ball at his feet, you know, a little burst of little pace to get round people. He did a great little bit of skill last weekend for his goal, little burst of pace in the box and fired at home. So United need to be aware. It needs to be touch tight in the penalty area, but be very aware. Not too touch tight, but tight enough to get that blocking, because he's got that little bit of pace to explode and the skills as well. So they're the two players I'd watch out for Southampton in terms of their centre-halves. Obviously Van Dijk's out injured, so there's a lot of potential, and Font's gone to West Ham, so there's a lot of potential to attack them through the middle with Anthony Martial coming in from that left-hand side. In terms of the team that I'd like to see, if Henrik Mkhitaryan is fit, he has to be the number 10 for me. United should set up in a 4-2-3-1. David De Gea in goal, Valencia, Bay, Smalling, Daley Blind, and then if Michael Carrick is fit, I still wouldn't play him, and I'd go with Ander Herrera, Pogba, and then a three of Juan Mata, Mkhitaryan, Anthony Martial, Zlatan through the middle. The Mickey Mata sort of link-up play has been so good recently, and I feel they've got a real good understanding of two creative talents.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If, of course, Mick Tyrion is injured, Michael Carrick is fit, I'd throw Michael Carrick in there. Same front three, and Pogba and Herrera joining him in midfield. And if, of course, Michael Carrick is injured, potentially I'd go with Marouane Fellaini. Didn't quite work out against, I've forgotten even who he played. Oh, yeah, Saint Etienne at home in the Europa League. Didn't work out that midfield of Herrera, Fellaini and Paul Pogba is a little bit too slow in possession. But Fellaini's been quite good at Wembley. You think the Everton game last season, grabbed the first goal, was just a threat aerially. You think of the final as well, crucial assist for the Wan-Mata goal to get United back into the tie, and I think they got the knockdown for the Jess Lingard goal, or was involved in that goal as well. So potentially with Marouane Fellaini in there could cause Southampton a little bit of trouble, and considering their centre-halves as well, that issue there with Font and Van Dijk either gone or injured, Fellaini could be a real threat here. So potentially if Carrick and if Mkhitaryan aren't fit, I'd throw the big Belgium target man / central midfielder in there. But anyway, guys, in the comments below, get in your teams for the Manchester United versus Southampton game in the League Cup final. But anyway, it's time to move on to the biggest tournament in the world, and that is the Champions League. The Champions! So, let's do it. Let's go to Portugal first. Porto versus Juventus. An interesting game, a game that I kind of saw tactically would sort of evolve like that, with Juventus holding the ball in midfield, retaining their possession and sort of strangling Porto into submission. What I didn't expect was the Porto red card. Telas getting sent off for two pretty silly challenges and costing Porto the tie, the whole tie. It's gone because of his stupid decision making. Andre Silva had to come off and was replaced by another fullback, and Porto were down to 10 men. Unfortunately, Juve just strangled them out of the game. But it was, they did stick into the game quite well. Danilo, I thought, was very, very good. And Ruben Neves protected the back four quite well with their man down. But arguably didn't have anything on the counter-attack. Suarez was very, very poor up top, and the ball just didn't stick with him. And Juventus just slowly got into the game and took more and more control. In terms of Allegri, though, he really made his cash against Porto. His two substitutions both scored. Juventus were quite interesting now. They tried to go a lot down that right-hand side. Pjanic, dictating the play. A little bit too slow in terms of tempo for me. Pjanic potentially should have upped it as soon as that red card, and he kept it a little bit slow. He did in fact complete more passes than any player's managed in the Champions League knockout stages this season, but it was a little bit too slow, a little bit too laboured. Needed to be a bit quicker, a bit more direct in that final third. But obviously, just coming into this Juventus team, playing defensive midfield, he will learn these sort of lessons. But in terms of that right-hand side, not very good going forward. Cuadrado and Lichtsteiner were quite poor up until their substitutions. Cuadrado kept on hitting overhitting his crosses. They've got a tactic, Juventus, this season where they do look to hit Mandzukic at the back post, but Cuadrado's range was just completely out. Similar to Lichtsteiner, both looking for that ball, but both just not finding their target. Mandzukic looked a very frustrated figure at the back post. I think they only found him with one of their crosses, and that was Cuadrado creating a chance out of about 12, so it wasn't quite good enough. And as soon as they bought Fejer and they bought Dani Alves on, first Fejer made a very big impact from the bench, a very direct attacker compared to Cuadrado. Cuadrado is more of your wingman, more of your skillful man. Fejer's more direct into that penalty area. Took his goal very well. Obviously, Dybala with some good work. Ball breaks him. Great finish. Gets Juventus the lead. And then, of course, Dani Alves at the back post following some brilliant work from Alexandro. And that's the guy that I want to touch on. We've seen some big performances in the Champions League from fullbacks, and again, they're so crucial. Something that I tweeted during the game, the Monaco game, fullbacks are so crucial to the modern game, and again, it's shown here. Forwards aren't doing so well in the creative sense. We're talking Cuadrado and Dybala. Dybala had a little bit of a frustrating game, created a few good chances, but overall was in and out of the game. And that's the sort of performance we've seen in recent weeks. So he needs to step up again. He did obviously hit the post with a pretty decent shot, but needs to just do a little bit better at number 10 for me. Needs to contribute a little bit more with goals and assists. But in terms of Alexandro, was brilliant on that left wing, creating more chances than any other player on the pitch. Won 100% of his tackles. 5 dribbles, 11 crosses with a 36% cross accuracy and was a lot better. And the ball to the back post for Dani Alves just summed up his night. He got forward very well. And what I love about Alexandra as well, he's sort of ambidextrous in that final third, can cross from both feet. And the ball that actually he put in, even though he's left-footed, was with his right foot. A fantastic ball to that the back post for Dani Alves to steer it home. In terms of the ex-Porto player, obviously, with Danilo and Alexandra, I always fancied Alexandra. I always thought he was the better fullback over Danilo. We've seen Danilo drop out of the Real Madrid first team, and arguably he's going to be sold and moved on in the summer. And Alexandra's really stepped up this season, grabbed the first team slot from Patrice Evra and was really good against Porto in an attacking sense. But going back, fullback so crucial in that final third. Obviously with the rise of inside forwards, the rise of forwards that are looking to get into that centre zone and combine with your attacking midfielders and with your strikers, the width does come from the fullbacks. And we've seen with Monaco's fullbacks, Sidibe, Mendy, Sandro, we've seen some really top fullback performances so far in the Champions League. And moving on to another really good fullback performance for me, Escudero for Sevilla. So let's talk Sevilla versus Leicester City. The game finished 2-1. A very, very, very good result for Leicester City considering the balance of play. Sevilla missed a penalty. They hit the bar. They hit the post. They absolutely battered Leicester City. But Leicester City hung in there. Kasper Schmeichel with a humongous performance. An absolute fantastic performance. Obviously conceded his first goal in the Champions League after 385 minutes. But only Ospina's made more saves than Kasper Schmeichel in the knockout stages of the Champions League this season. Made some brilliant saves from Jovetic, from Valito, and was just, kept them in it. The reaction save early doors following the Christian Fuchs head at the back, which was absolutely shocking, was brilliant. And he really kept Leicester in this tie because, they would have been down 4 or 5 goals if it wasn't for Kasper Schmeichel. In terms of what went well for Leicester City, obviously Jamie Vardy scoring his first goal from his first shot on target in 380 minutes. Vardy has been massively out of form this season in comparison to last year where he absolutely exploded, but took his goal very well. And it's given Leicester a massive lifeline. Away goals are huge in the Champions League. If Leicester can get that atmosphere they had last season and the tempo that they had last season from their players, they could cause a big, big upset in the Champions League because they were so good at pressing at the start of games when they won the Premier League. They were so alive, so ready to go, and I feel like bringing Okazaki back in this second leg is going to be crucial because the Japanese international was good for Leicester City last season in terms of how he how he led from the front with his pressing being more of a defensive forward. And Leicester City were massively disjoint. Their back 8 players were so disjoint from the front too. The press was completely broken. I feel like bringing someone like Okazaki back, hopefully playing Jamie Vardy on that last man, looking to hit Sevilla on the counter attack at home, could be an option. With Mahrez playing through the middle, didn't quite work out. Then Damari Gray came on, didn't quite work out there either. So it's going to be a big, big test for Leicester City, but they've got a crucial away goal. In terms of Sevilla, their movement, their interplay was so good. Now, I spoke before about how I don't know what system they're going to play. UEFA had it as a 3-5-2, but in fact, it looked like a 4-2-3-1 with Nzonzi and Samir Nasri sitting in midfield behind a front four of Carrera, Jovetic, Vitolo, and, of course, Sabira on the right wing, who had a very good game. The left-footed Spaniard took his goal very well, arriving late into the penalty area, following a very good ball from Escudero, who had a brilliant game as well. In terms of his chances that he created, he was very direct in that final third. But what I love watching Vitolo again. I mentioned him before. Again, he showed his sort of like lazy dribbling style, but so effective in that final third. But of course, Jovetic as well has given this severe attack a lot more. Jovetic is a player that when he was at Fiorentina before his move to Manchester City was a fantastic talent, playing on the left wing, playing as a false nine. That's the kind of role he played for Sevilla. He got involved with the play and the assist for the career goal. It was a lovely little spin and caught the two Leicester centre-halves very flat-footed in a way. Obviously, Wes Morgan and Robert Hoof aren't very good on their feet, and it was a lovely little bit of link-up play, masterminded by Stefan Jovetic. In the last 8 games, in fact, Jovetic has been directly involved in 7 goals. That's 3 goals and 4 assists. You think of his first goal that beat Real Madrid and ended their 40-game unbeaten streak, and he's just been a great signing for Sevilla and a great acquisition again from the Spanish club. But I fully expect them... I think this is going to be a really tight game. I could see Leicester City shaving this 2-1 and this being one of the games that goes to extra time and potentially goes to penalties. And maybe Leicester City will just get some luck this season that hasn't been on their side, and they may go on to knock the big Spanish giants out. It would be a massive shock, and just can see it though. With the luck that swung in that game, you fully expected Sevilla to win that with the, you know, the chances that they had by more than just 2-1. So this could be the big upset in the Champions League. But anyway, that is enough about the Champions League ties. Let's finish off with some stats. So first up, the 5-3 between Manchester City and Monaco was the highest scoring first leg game ever in the Champions League knockout tie, 8 massive goals. In terms of other stats, Ospina, I mentioned before, makes 6 saves against Bayern Munich. That was the most of any goalkeeper. In terms of goals, there were 4 players that scored braces in the first leg of the knockout stages. That was Falcao, Aguero in the same game, Di Maria, of course, against Barcelona, and Thiago against Arsenal. Falcao scored as many goals he did that evening in Manchester as he managed at Old Trafford for Manchester United. I wish we'd just played to Falcao's strengths, crossing the ball into the box. I imagine, right, Falcao this season under Mourinho would be perfect. United cross the ball a lot. Falcao is, you know, he's coming alive again with that same style of play at Monaco, and it was before the same thing at Atletico Madrid. Just Louis van Gaal, you're a muppet. Sorry. Thanks for the FA Cup, but buddy, you're a muppet. In terms of other big stats, we're going to jump out there. Cristiano Ronaldo changed from his goal-scoring credentials to being the playmaker for Real Madrid, something I touched on last week, and created more chances and more big chances than any other player in the first leg Champions League ties. Still staying in the creative industry, we're going to talk Fabinho, who was the only player to register 2 assists, and those both came against Manchester City. A fantastic cross from the wide area and also taking a quick free kick over the top. 2. Mbappe, who became the second youngest player ever to score in the Champions League, only behind Karim Benzema, scoring a goal in the Champions League at 18 years old and just 2 months. What did I do with my life? What do you do, Dave? You're probably down the boozer at 18, not scoring goals against Manchester City in the Champions League. And finally, let's round off with Antoine Griezmann, who became Atletico Madrid's top scorer of all time in the Champions League / European Cup, beating Luis Aragonés's record of 12 goals, and he's now on 13 goals. Antoine Griezmann, what a lad. But anyway, guys, that's been that for the Statman Day Football Podcast this week. Please like on YouTube, like it on Acast, tell your pals, write a review on iTunes, and that is about that for today. And tomorrow, remember to get your questions into @StatmanDave on Twitter if you want to ask me and Stephen Howson from Full Time Devils some big questions, whatever you want about Man United, European football, life, just send them in. See you later, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.